Welcome back. We are continuing right where we left off yesterday with our chat with Ms. Catherine Edwards from this Wednesday's, 2 days ago, RHOBH part one of the reunion. We are breaking it all down. Catherine and I decided to have a little chat about what happened on Wednesday, and our little chat lasted for 3 hours. So it continues now. This is part two. We talk about it all. Of course, we talk a lot about Erica, but this whole Garcelle and Rinna thing, do we believe that Rinna really said this? Why did Garcelle wait to the reunion to bring it up? There's just so much to unpack behind this whole, that whole thing. And then, you know, there was a lot going on a couch between like Dorit and Crystal, lots of eye rolling. We really just are about to break this all down. But of course, we focus on Miss Erica Jane, because I mean, that is the story of the season. Here we go. Part two of our chat with Ms. Catherine Edwards from this past week's RHOBH reunion continues now.
I mean, listen, there's a lot I don't like about the way Rinna conducts herself on the show, but I will hold my ground and say that I don't think that that's all of who she is. I don't know that side to her. She's a very different person on the show from who I knew a long time ago.
I also think it's funny when she's like, Garcelle, Harry Hamlin is very shocked at you. And it's like, really, like Garcelle's like, what? Like, is Harry really watching the show and analyzing Garcelle Bouvet's behavior?
Yeah. And honestly, Garcelle is just not having it. Like, Garcelle's like, give me a break. Like, please.
Do you think Garcelle, because, you know, they all say, like, Garcelle said, like, you know, like, I'm not sure about next, like, she's saying, like, you know, I mean, she's going to come back, but she's like, I don't know. Like, do you think Garcelle is great and, like, don't fuck with her? Like, she's got it. Or you think she's having a hard time other than the obvious, like, when that, you know, she felt like she didn't fit in. Like, listen, certain people just aren't, like, you have to be a Rinna, period. You have to, like, you either get it or you don't. It's, you know, right? It's not for everyone. The people it's not for, it's pretty obvious early on. Like, do you think Garcelle is just not cut out? She's on the reel. Is she just not cut out for this, or no? She's holding her own.
I think she's doing well. And I think there's a difference of when Garcelle kind of, you know, takes like a little passive aggressive swing at somebody or does something, and then when Rinna does it. I think that Garcelle plays a lot more fair. That's in my opinion. I think Garcelle plays a lot more fair, and she's, I think she's a lot more real about it, but I think she still knows what her role is and still realize that the show is for entertainment and that you have to have a scene, something has to happen. And, you know, every time there's a get together, for the most part, something has to go down to make it, you know, or they shoot so much, and so much ends up on the floor because they are looking for the big scene with everything you see. They've got 45 minutes of TV to have you have your mouth hanging open. And if they could have it nonstop, they'd be thrilled. And they had a lot of it this year. But
and those dinners, right? Like, those dinners are hours sometimes.
Sometimes, if nothing happens. Yep.
Well, I saw an interview, I don't know where, with Garcelle. It was kind of recently where she was like the first day, I guess they asked her, you know, it's not for all actresses. She's like the first day they showed up at her house. And she was like, what am I supposed to do? And they were like, we're not speaking to you. Like, you do, we do nothing.
What you do?
Like, just go and
totally.
She's like, I don't understand. I'm like, I would wash dishes if you weren't here. And they're like, then wash dishes. Like, she's like, but isn't this boring? And they're like, don't worry about it. Like,
they're waiting for something. Yeah, it is weird. Like, you think like this, what can be so great about this? But somehow they turn it into something, and they wait. And a lot of times they'll save some of that stuff just for like a cutaway. You know, I don't know. But I think she's doing really well. I think that she is nowhere near as much BS as, you know, Rinna or Dorit. She's, you know, and I think it's great that she found Sutton and Sutton has her. And I think that Crystal is definitely gonna go their route.
I think so too. Like, I think, look, a lot of times you have to do it and then watch it and then see the social media. And then you you get it. So I think like a lot of times when you come back, like we're seeing that on Potomac with Wendy Osefo, like when you come back your second season, you're just, you're different because now you know how to play. Like you just get it. I think Crystal's going to come back and she is coming back for everyone listening. I think she's going to come back with just a, like, I have something to say. And like, again, when she was on my show, I thought she had a good point of like, she was a fan of all of the franchises. So she came in like having an idea of what these people were like, but she was like, I didn't know Erica. There was no, I've never met her. So she's like, for me, when I was hearing all this, it was, my perspective was different. And I was like, I thought that was interesting. And she really did go to like the father because of her father with Alzheimer's. She's like, that was my whole thing the whole time of like, this man is going through this, which I thought was interesting. But I think Crystal too is going to come back and just not, just it's a different Crystal. Like, I think it's going to be like, I've got, you know, and a lot of people are upset with Crystal for when she said, I've never heard of her. I guess she was about Sutton. And I'm like, but now they're friends. Like that's the comment I got all the time, that people think Crystal's a snob because she's like, well, I never heard of this person.
I thought that, right.
Okay. When Sutton was like, you know, my reputation, Crystal, believe it or not, that's what a lot of the negative comments on my thing, on my Instagram were against Crystal. They're like, she's a snob. She's arrogant. She says like, I've never heard of her. She thinks she's bad. This is why a lot of people don't like Crystal. I mean, a lot of people also say she's really boring, but I do think she's going to come back different and have found her voice. I mean, let's face it. The producers are there. They're not going to manipulate you, but they push you along.
Oh yeah.
They'll say, this is your season, honey. You got to find your voice. This is all about Crystal. They'll say that to her and she'll find it. Like she'll be pumped up before seeing.
Well, plus she'll be closer to Sutton. She'll be closer to Garcelle. She'll have this, you know, when you watch the show and you see everyone's private, what is it even called when they talk to us by ourselves? I don't even know what the hell
I call it
called.
Confessionals. I know people I've had people on the show that call it talking heads. I call it a confessional.
Okay. So when you have your confessional, no one sees what you're saying until you get the show, right?
Right.
And a lot of shit. And they do encourage you to say stuff in the confessional. Okay. And you see it. You know, Garcelle did it, calling people out. You know, Erica was the queen of it for my season, of saying things that she'd never said to anyone's face. And so you just kind of like during the season, and you're watching these confessionals and you just, oh my God. And you get more and more mad and you walk away at the end of the season. You're like, I thought we were good. I thought you liked me. I liked you. I had no idea you were talking smack behind my back. And that is hard because then you don't trust the person. Well, who are they? Are you who you are in the confessional? Or are you who you show me yourself to be, how you treat me? So which one do you want me to believe?
That's where I feel, and I'm not taking her side. That's where I feel Rinna is a true self-producer. Because if you think about it, she throws so much crap against everyone and everyone's mad at her. But when has Rinna really gotten mad at someone else? She's always defending herself for her little one-liners, but Rinna, I really truly think that's why she's made for this. I don't think she cares. And I don't think it's narcissism. I think it's like, Harry does okay. He's a working actor, but she's bringing home the money. And 100%. She's like, it's another 1 point, whatever. And another year. So, I mean, I'm not 20 years old, Harry. So we only have a few years, and she gets it. I think she gets when this is over,
Maybe
there'll be a Melrose Place reunion someday. Like this is it for Rinna's big millions here and there. And I think she's just like, who cares? So you're mad at me. I think she loves it. I think when people come at Rinna, she's thrilled. Really? Sure. You're mad at me? Oh my God. Thank you. You're mad at me now. And she's great with the one-liners. Like maybe when Eric, I think she's when she hugs Garcelle. I think she's like, thank God this girl's mad at me right now. Right? I really think that. I think she's fine with it.
Sure. I think she's fine with it too, but I do think that she probably wants it to be okay with her. I think.
And I mean, I think she doesn't want people to hate her.
No. I agree with you 100%, David. I think that she really doesn't want people to hate her. And I think that she thinks that she's not that offensive. She just says little dumb things. That's all forgivable. And she doesn't do anything that's so bad. And I think you're going to maybe see her that, because they had like the little clips. And I think that Garcelle holds her to the fire with the Denise thing. And when she says, I have regrets, or I have a lot of, you know, I live with that, you know, maybe she really does have regrets. But I think that Rena, for the most part, when it all ends and it's all over, she's going to like say, hey, I made hay while the sunshine, I made my money. It's over. Nothing that I did was so horrific. And I was making a TV show. I entertained all of you assholes for 10 years.
Listen, if I got the job, I would do it like her. I would. And unfortunately, this really is, I would. And then like, I would, first of all, I would never get upset about social media. I mean, she does, she's on,
right.
I wouldn't care. You could say whatever you could say. I've always said this. It's like, you are not paying me more to get in a Twitter fight. I mean, and I really truly believe that. I don't think Bravo cares. Like, look at you, you're doing it, you're stirring it up on social media. I really don't think they care about that. That's just my opinion. I mean, you could just, I think they care what happens on the show. So I think if you're up at night, it's not like, oh, look at Rinna's good for publicity, she's fighting with Kyle. I don't think you need, so I would just, me personally, be like, you could say the worst things about me on Twitter. I would be like, my check is already cleared, babe. Like, so I'm not saying, I would be like Rinna, I would like, cause trouble. You could hate me. We can make up. I don't care. Just let that $1 million check clear. And I do think you just have to say to yourself, there has to be bodies. There has to be dead bodies in my way. And if that has to be LVP, like, no, I do not think you need to go after what supposedly is an actual friend of yours that you were both in soaps and star. I don't think that was smart. But the other bodies, I think you have to say, like, in my life, in my lifetime, or especially this season, like, this is my damage. And if I never speak to Dorit again, she was the one. It's not going to be Kyle. Or I just think you have to have in your mind, like, these are the ones that are just disposable to me.
And I think that it's also comes down to, you know, living in LA for so long, and you meet so many people, and how many times you're at a party and you're having a great time and everyone's blown smoke up each other's ass and let's get together and you exchange numbers. All the while knowing I'm never going to call you. You're never going to call me. You know, we'll say the next time we see each other, oh my God, okay, this time let's really get together. I really want to see you. It's just, it is what it is. You know what I mean? And if an LVP or Dorit, whomever those people are, she doesn't hang out with them when you're not shooting and you're not filming, what's a great loss? I mean, it's not nice, because I personally, I'm not made like that. I myself am not made like that. I want to, if I have an issue with someone, hammer it out, decide if we're going to be friends or not be friends, and go along my merry way. And that's it. And I'm not very good at leaving unfinished business.
I just think she's really good at it.
She's very good at it. Very good at it. She loves unfinished business.
And I think she would love to not have the bodies, but she's just like, this is how it works.
That's it.
Right. Like, if you're not going to keep in touch with the person anyway, so be it.
Yeah. I think that when it all comes to the end and she, you know, has a bank full of cash and she doesn't have to worry about retirement, the real, and I know her real friends. I know who she's close with. I know who she goes on vacations with. You know, they're not in this world of hers, that of the reality world.
Right. And I mean, it doesn't mean you come back, because like someone like a Denise or even like whoever it is just says, well, if I was the one that was discardable, well, then, I mean, I get it. Like I would get it. I would be like, I actually understand. But
yeah.
I apparently then don't matter to you if I'm the one. So we can't be friends ever again. But I like, to me, it's like, I get why you did this. Like, it's a lot of money. You got to do it.
Or you can just say, like, we were both, you know, discardable on the show. But, you know, if we ever really get to know each other in our private life and we find, you know, forge a friendship that way, then that's a real friendship. That's why I don't think the friendship with Erica on television is real. And people are like, oh, they really have a real friendship. Yeah, right now.
I mean, on Watch What Happens, she tried to explain it like, I speak to her so much more than I spoke to Denise. I'm like, really? I'm like,
because I could see that. Denise has kids. Their kids are different ages. Kids, you know, change your life as far as your priorities of school and this and that and the friends. And
by the way, I live in a nice area of New York City. I just like, I'm telling you, no, ever since, I swear to you, ever since COVID, I hear sirens and fire trucks all the time. It's like, I don't get it. I don't get it.
Hey, wait, I'm deaf in one ear. I've only got one ear to get me through for the rest of my life. And I'm like, this little AirPod right here is blowing out with that last fire truck and the horn.
I mean, and it's like, my window's barely open. Did you have more problems filming with Erica or LVP? I know you had both, but like, did Erica stand out, or with LVP there, it was just like both of them and she didn't really stand out to you? I mean, I know you didn't have great times filming with her.
I didn't have problems with LVP during the season at all. No. The only one that, if I'm honest, the one person that I would have to say, like, kind of the two people that irritated me the most during filming, this isn't after the season aired, because then the confessionals irritated me in a different way. But while it was all going on, the two people that irritated me the most were Renna and Eileen. In Renna, because I did not know who she was. I was thrown for such a loop with the way she acted on the show compared to who she was. And that irritated me. And then Eileen, I thought I was going to like her the best. And then I ended up not liking her because I felt like it just had this whole like kind of actory fake thing. But they were making a TV show and I was seeing the TV personalities and I wasn't a fan of that personally. I just didn't think it was real. It wasn't real. And I didn't know who I was dealing with. And I don't like that. If I think you're full of shit and you're being phony, I don't like it.
How have you lived in LA for so long? You need to move to New York. I mean, like,
I'm much more of a New Yorker. Yeah.
I mean, at least here, you know, people are still consumed with looks and money and all that, but it's different.
So am I.
Like, so am I, but like, it's different. It's like, at least, I don't know. Every time I go to LA, I'm like, I love it and find it very strange at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, I love it and I get it and I get, and like, I've, you know, like, especially with COVID, I'm like, I should spend more time out there. Cause like, look at what I do. I can work from anywhere.
Yeah.
So then when you're there, you're like, this is great. It's a whole bunch of people in the same business and there's something romantic about it. And then at the same time, you're like, these people are just weird.
Yeah.
It's to the wall. And I personally find that people are like starving there for reality. Like, I meet people there and they like, every time I go there, I meet people and they're like, I want to do this. And I'm like, you want to be like my best friend after 5 minutes. Like, but it's not, the certain people are not fake. It's like, I find that they're just starving for like realness. I don't know. That's what I've experienced, but go on.
I think that's 100% accurate. But I will say this, LA was not always like that. It wasn't years ago, really before social media and before, you know, it became super popular to be just so, you know, I don't want to say outlandish, but just over the top with everything that you did, you shared. People had a decorum. You know what I mean? We, you know, there was still a mystery to it all. And there were friendships and there were great dinner parties and everyone didn't look the same. Now, I swear to God, I mean, whatever the formula is to have like the Kardashian look with the hair and the lips and the eyes and the makeup and the contouring and the clothes,
Wow. It's a lot. It's a lot.
It's too, they all look the freaking same. Everyone looks the same.
Yeah.
It's too much.
You have to go Google it. Did you see all those pictures a few weeks ago where they were saying Tori Spelling got like the click that she was, and this, did you see that? She looked like Chloe.
She exactly like her. I mean, seriously.
I'm like,
that was crazy.
I'm like, crazy. How did this happen?
That was bizarre to me. I mean, if you would have showed me the picture side by side, I would have said that that was Khloe Kardashian.
I'm like, Tori. Mind you, I still see Khloe. And this, I'm not even trying to be like funny. Like, I still see pictures of Khloe and I'm like, I don't even understand this. Like, speaking of which, this has to be Photoshop, but did you see all the pictures going around about Kim Richards from Kyle's, from Porsche's bar mitzvah? So I'll send it to you. Did you see it? I saw one. Who is that? That is not Kim Richards. I'm not joking. I have to send you the one that everyone's, I mean, I don't even understand what I'm
saying. Send it to me. But is it a Photoshop or is it plastic surgery?
I think it's plastic surgery, but I mean, it's not even like, I understand plastic surgery where then you look like yourself, but a little different. This, I'm like, I don't understand how this is not Kim Richards. This is not her. Like,
you have to send it to me. I don't think I've seen it. I don't, honestly, I think they can do miracles now. I don't know how it is. They have something that changes like the chin, the jaw, the this. I mean, people go in and come out looking completely different.
I don't know. There's been the witness protection program forever, so it could be done. I don't know. I've just gotten a bunch of shots and needles to my face. I've never, like, other than Botox and filler, I've never had anything, but I'm not above it. Trust me. Give me a bunch of years and I'll be right there.
No, you know what? I think it'll come down to it as time goes on, where everyone's not going to want to look exactly the same and it'll be refreshing to be your own self. I mean, honestly, it's bizarre. And now the asses, I mean, the butts, I mean, my God.
I've never understood that from day one. That's just me.
But butt jobs are the new boob jobs. Everyone's got a, like, yeah, the big fake booty. And yeah,
I don't get that, but I'm going to send you this picture of Kim because where is Kim Richards? Where is she? So yeah, I guess this really was all about Garcelle, and I don't really think anything was resolved. Like, I don't feel she's closer to Rinna. I mean, Dorit is screaming at her.
I don't think that it's going to last. Like, but I felt like in that moment, if the season ended and there was no more of the reunion and the reunion stopped, I'd have said that Garcelle and Rinna, that was like, I felt like it was a little truthful in the moment when they hugged and were like, okay, I'm good. Because Garcelle is a sweetheart too. She's a really sweet person. And the part of Rinna that's sweet, I could see those two finding each other. I'm telling you. And I know this is me saying this based on who they both were 30 years ago. But
did you see that Garcelle, I forgot where it was. I think it was something at Tom Tom. She's now in a picture. She's met LVP, like, as of 2 days ago.
Garcelle has?
As of like a day or two ago, yes.
Oh.
Look at your face. It's on, I forgot what it was, but I believe that the event was actually at Tom Tom. Like, it was at, I think it was at Tom Tom. I don't think it was like a dinner. I think it was like some event. I'm trying to like Google it, but like, sorry.
I could see LVP coming back.
You could.
I really could. I could. I mean, it might not be, you know, in one or two seasons, if the show's still going, that would be the way to pick it up.
Well, let me,
if it's on its
tell
last
you
dying
things.
Legs.
Vanderpump Rules has come back. Now, I don't know about this week, but up until this week, it has come back to half the ratings that it had. It is at like 600 and something thousand, which
is that good? No.
Oh. This big New York Housewives crisis with horrible ratings, they were like in the sevens. Now, it could have gone up, but it had like 1 point. It's like literally like half the ratings it had before, which doesn't shock me. There's nobody I know that was waiting for that. Listen, I think the longer a show is off the air, no one's waiting for it to come back unless it's like 5 years and then it's nostalgic, like, and then they bring it back, like The Hills or, but a year, like maybe it's gone up, but it was, no one's watching it. So I'm just saying, if it goes away and there's no more Vanderpump Rules and Lisa Vanderpump's overserved on E was a total disaster. Like I'm saying, I'm not coming for her. I'm just saying it was a ratings disaster.
Right.
And her spinoff dog show on Peacock's Vanderpump, like no one watched any of these shows. So they might, listen, stranger things have happened. Like you want the Erica story to die down and say, what the hell are we going to do next season? Like we're going to have nothing can top that. Give your $2 million to Lisa and she will sign on the dotted line.
100%. I agree. I don't know anything. So I don't know, but I would bet the farm that she would.
She said
she'd come back in her glory.
Like Bethany Frankel when she came back, she will come back as like, I am brought in to save the show. I think her salary will start with a 2. I do not think it will start with a 1.
Right.
And she has said recently, yes, I'll come on for Sutton and Garce. Like basically like everyone needs to be fired, which is not going to happen.
No.
But I think Lisa, like take away Vanderpump Rules and just give it a year. She will be back. I agree with you. And that will be everything, right?
Yeah, I agree. Kyle will still be there. Her and Kyle will somehow make up and it'll be okay for a little bit. And that'll be like the end until it rides off into the sunset.
It might save Dorit's job eventually. Right. I mean, like eventually someone's going to go from the show, not now, but eventually. And I just think if you start eliminating, like, I don't think Dorit has like 10. I mean,
no,
she's like, eventually it's going to be time for Dorit to make an exit.
Yeah, I think so. It's so funny because last year, after last season, we were like, she was like our favorite. And now we're like, and now she's ready. She should be going. That's fickle fans, right?
It's like, yeah, it's almost like, what does she really eventually bring? You know, it's the same.
But you could say the same thing for Erica now that she doesn't have the money. What is she going to bring? What does she do? This, once the drama of the divorce and the lawsuit settle, unless she's got to find somebody to have like a really like some type of crazy relationship with.
I think she'll do it. I think she's one of these that she'll do it. Or are
she'll
they
figure
just
it out.
Gonna be like, this has put you into the stratosphere. Like this is just, you know, everybody knows the name Erica Jane now. And like that buys you years. Years. Kyle has come out and said, I didn't read the article. I've read the headline. So God only knows what she actually said, but she said something like, you know, I will walk away at some point from this show. I don't know what she actually said, but that's the headline that's also going around now that Kyle said this. I don't know in what context. I don't think today, but I think she was just like, you know, eventually guys, I am going to resign eventually. I don't know if I believe that. I don't know if I really believe that. Right.
I mean, no, I could see if they make enough money and, you know, in the dynamics of the show change so much where it's not fun. I could see her walking away. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Why not?
Lisa's going to come back and those previews are going to be like, I'm back, bitches.
But she's going to come back and she's going to come back. Like who is going to be her nemesis? It has to be Kyle, right?
Right. And that's why I think like nobody will care about Dorit. Like, you know, it may not even save her job. Like who cares? It's going to be your nemesis will be Kyle. And yeah, it would be Dorit if she was there, but like, it doesn't matter. Kyle and you, we don't need Dorit.
Dorit doesn't fight well with LVP. When they fought, it just wasn't. Yeah. It's a different chemistry between them than it is with Kyle. The reason why it worked with Kyle and LVP is that there's some chemistry there that makes it work. Some oil and water.
And don't get me wrong, LVP and Lisa Rinna would be oil and water too. Like that ain't gonna go down so well. You guys know I'm always on the go and running around with this job, and I've never made a priority of hydrating and putting the right nutrients into my body, and I always find myself hungry. That's why 310 Nutrition for me has been a lifesaver. Their water hydrators are great. You add them to water and they make your water so delicious. They have refreshing, healthy lemonade mixes without sugar, and my personal favorite, they're all-in-one shakes. My favorite's the caramel sundae, but they also have vanilla cake, shamrock cream, chocolate icing. One of these shakes, it totally satisfies my hunger. It cures up my carb craving. It cures my sugar craving. It's low fat and low carbs. And hello, it tastes like dessert. But don't take my word for it. Right now, 310 is celebrating a new year of goals with code VELVETROPE and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 off your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and it's easy to put together an order or start a subscription on products you know you'll use. Go to 310nutrition.com and use the code VELVETROPE right now for 50% up to $100 for your first order. That's 310nutrition.com and use code VELVETROPE.
See? I could see that. I could see that being one of the people that LVP, if she had the ability to say someone's got to go, I could see her getting rid of her.
I bet you eventually, if they're going to bring her back, like, look, you're not going to make someone producer. It doesn't work that way. That's just a conflict of interest.
No.
I mean, she's a producer on Vanderpump Rules. That's much different. I do think that they would let her at least speak up. And I bet you behind closed doors, she would have some say, not completely, but I bet you she would have some say. That's my honest opinion, right? That she would be able to say, like, listen, you want me to sign? We're one step away. You've got to, no, we're not getting rid of this one, that, but you pick, okay, this is your one stipulation. Fine. Just make it happen. That's what I think. Right.
Yeah. She may say that, but I don't think it would be, that would be a side deal that, you know, and they would have to, I think they'd have to think it was their idea too. Like, we don't really love her. You know, this, we're getting rid of Dorit or whomever it is, you know, her day is kind of the come to an end anyway, no harm, no foul. And if they have somebody new, and I'm sure that, I mean, that's the thing about LA or even New York, especially LA though, there are a million entertaining women in that city that they could put in that place. And that would also be great freaking entertainment. Great opulent lives, crazy stuff. You know,
I think if Rinna goes, like when she eventually goes, I think they will do her dirty. Like, I think they will need a season to, like, if anyone is holding on to, right, if anyone is going to come and be like, we wish she was still here, I think they're going to, like, do it. So they put, like, kind of like what they did with Dorinda in New York. Like, did you watch New York?
Yeah, but Rinna won't fall for that.
You don't think so?
What are they going to get her on?
I don't know. Like, can't they just do it in the editing and just start going in that direction? I don't know. Maybe not.
You know, it was really crazy. It's funny that you say that, because when I was watching the show and Garcelle brought up that Rinna said that there's nothing, you know, whatever the race thing was, I thought, oh my gosh. And I honestly, even the fact that they edited that and left it in,
that's what I mean. I wonder. Like, it'll be something bad, like that, but she just can't. Right. But now this is over. Like, no one's going to keep harping on this.
Okay. Yeah. But Rinna, for the most part, is liked or not liked? I really don't know.
I think that she was very liked. And I think that then some people started not liking her, but lots of people did. And I think now she is generally, the majority does not like her. Like, because I think of Erica, the vast majority. I just think because of everything. Like Denise, Erica, know-it-all, shitster. Like, I really think Rinna went from like 90% of the people like her to like, you know, 70-30 to like 50-50. And I think now the majority does not like Rinna. That, I truly think that.
Do you think that the fans or the people that watch the show do you think that Bravo like looks at that as far as, you know?
Personally, like, a lot of people think they do. I truly don't. Really don't. Like, I don't. People point to examples like, you know, Kelly Dodd is off OC because everyone hates. I'm like, I don't. I think there are other reasons. Like, it was time for Kelly to go. Like, her story was up. I don't think so. Because, I mean, everyone hates Erica. Okay, that's not really a good example. But I don't. I really don't. I think if just certain people are hated, a lot of times it's because they don't like bond or connect with the audience. And then that's why they get like Bravo can see it. Like, this person, like, did you watch season 4 with like Carlton and Joyce? I mean, Joyce Gerard happens to be like one of the nicest people ever. I interviewed.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. You remember you said you were going to listen?
I didn't listen that one. I will though.
She's like the nicest. I mean, it's like an older interview, but like, she just was one of those, like, I didn't love her on the show. And then when she came on my show, I was like, what a nice person. Like, just,
yeah.
She's very good friends with LVP in real life. It's not, there's no, right. She's an example of like, she has no angle. She's not trying to like, and it just wasn't for her. Like, Joyce never could have gone there. She thought she was like, I'm on a reality show. Come and see my real life.
I can do this.
Nobody wants your real life.
No,
she didn't get the memo. So that's where I think Crystal gets it. Like, people say she's boring. She gets it. Crystal knows what to do.
Of course she does. And she's in Hollywood. You know what I mean? She sees probably, you know, and that's the perfect example. I can't remember who I was with. I had friends from, where were they from? I don't know if it was New York or Miami or wherever. And they were staying with me and we were going out and doing everything. And you know, we're kind of mingling in the restaurants and the parties and this and that. And they said, my God, like, this is crazy. And I said, yeah, I know. And they said, you know, how do you just like live this life and like then come home and close your door and go to sleep and then get up and do it again? I said, you don't have to do this. And if you don't want to be a part of it, you don't have to be a part of it. But this is LA freaking life. This is what it is. And Crystal is in it. So she's lived it. She knows it. And you see crazy every day. And then you come home and you act like it's nothing.
Yeah.
And that is the difference. But that's changed. It wasn't always like that. Hollywood has changed compared to when I first moved there.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It has.
I think this cast, like, even Sutton, like, Sutton knows what to do. Like, she's.
But Sutton has decorum. You know what I mean? She has like a couth about her. She's, you know, she can get emotional and cry, but she's never going to get like that down and dirty where she's going to call someone to see you next Tuesday. I don't think she is.
I think Erica, like, this is how, when they fight, to me, I just get a vibe. Because Erica's fought with, you know, others. Every time they've had an issue on camera, I get a vibe both sides. I get a vibe from Sutton of like, thank God I'm not you, based on all this shit you're going through. Like, we can fight, but I win at the end of the day. I'm not saying any of this is right, but I think Sutton's like, I'm going home and I really think Erica is just jealous of her. Sutton has a shitload of money.
100%.
A shitload. I don't care whatever you say about like people like, oh, she's not pretty. Like, Sutton is the real, you know, we talk about everybody who lives above their means, PK, Dorit. Sutton has real money, which is a short list for every franchise of Housewives. To me, you do not have money if you owe a dollar. If you are in debt to the person next to you.
Agree.
Even $1, you are not rich because you owe someone and now you're in the negative. So that is a short list of people on every franchise that have real money. And Sutton has real money, real fuck you money. And I think it does. Erica cannot, Sutton will, she cannot stand it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I felt like tonight when I was watching and Sutton was talking about her house and, you know, and her business and everything. And Eric was just sitting there like watching it. But that was honestly, like, it's hard for me to feel sorry for someone because she had a choice that when she's blown through $40,000 a month in hair and makeup and shopping, you could have built a business. You had all these people that adoring fans that loved you. You could have found something tangible that you could have really turned into something rather than blowing it on hair and makeup.
Yes. Well, here's to that point. I went to see the Pretty Mess tour way back. And I said right there when I saw it, I don't know what year this was. I think I saw it twice. Like, I'm like, this is a hobby because I'm not saying it was bad. Yeah. It wasn't really, she was on stage for 40 minutes, but like, I'm like, this, I literally thought this at the moment, like, how much is this costing? Like, I'm looking right around the general admission place and this is what the tickets were. This is right. Here's the merch. There's money coming in, but I mean, this.
Not for what it costs.
There were like 12, 15 backup hunky male dancers, costume changes beyond Mikey Minden, creative director, smoke. I'm like, this is like a fucking Madonna production on a stage that is this like, and now you're all in a tour bus and she's flying. I'm like, this is costing Tom Girardi so much money. This tour is not me. So that's a nice hobby. No. Like we all have a hobby. Listen, if that's really your hobby, have a one night performance a year and sell it. Like this tour, I'm like, holy shit, this is costing so much money.
So much money. No, I know.
Just to fill out your rock star fantasy. Like, I mean, that's where egregious. It's like, you didn't need to do all this shit.
She literally, like, there was like a video montage clip that someone made where she was talking about how expensive, she's like, this is expensive. And you want to perform, in front of people. It's expensive. Wait a minute. It's expensive to perform. You're supposed to be making money or at least break even. If you're losing money, it's a hobby.
Yeah. And I remember being there, like, what a fucking expensive hobby. Like, this is crazy. Like costume. I mean, like get up and sing in the LA and then go to San Diego. Cause it's like, stay local. This was like a mini tour of like,
I know.
I'm like, holy shit. So, right. That's, you didn't need to do this. And like, even that was like, who was it? Rena was like, oh, I didn't realize having a store was a business. Like, what do you think? I mean, it's a store to make money. Like, I don't, what do you think? Something just opens the store and hangs out all day.
Yeah. No, she's smart. Something's smart.
That was a little, so I don't know. It's just like, So, I mean, I think I sense that jealousy. And like, you could say the same thing about Kathy Hilton, but she's no dummy. Like, you're not going to go after Kathy Hilton because she will decimate you in the town of Los Angeles. I just think she's like, she's so jealous of like, she can say whatever she wants. Like, Sutton is looking at you and Sutton has no problems. You know, I mean, she might have, but like, you know what I mean? Like she's, there's no problem.
No one is jealous of Erica. No one. Even before all this, no one was jealous of her. No one was jealous of her house, her marriage, her career, her jewelry, her nothing. Sorry.
This is how it's like you, especially if she's a narcissist, like you say, like her marriage made sense to me. Like you're like living in a house by yourself with, it's a nice, like she didn't care.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, like you don't need a husband if you're that into yourself. And it's like, that's where I go. And like, I don't buy that you were miserable and he cheated and you were lonely.
He was snoring before she ever came home at night.
Yeah. I mean, that's not a bad setup to just come and go as you please.
As you please. And say, have the check and have the credit card paid off every month, not just dropping whatever you wanted to. I mean, come on.
And then to say to 12 of your friends, come on over, let's do this, let's do that. I don't believe this. I was miserable.
I'm really going to be curious what her answer is going to be when Andy asks her why she didn't leave. And she says, where was I going to live? You're right. Where were you going to live that life on someone else's dime and blow through $40,000 to $60,000 a month? You were going nowhere. You had to stay.
That's where, and again, it's like, no, this is why nobody feels sorry for you. Like, right. Like that's just such a stupid thing to say. Like again, that's what I go back to. Like, you get, yes, okay, so it's $5,000 a month, but you can get like a doorman apartment, like, and just somewhere. I mean, you'll have a roof over it. You're not going to live in like a Motel 6. Like, you could get a nice, again, you're not going to be loaded like on, but like, you could, your check that you make from the show, no, it won't cover all this stuff, but it will cover a nice, decent one bedroom rental.
Yeah. Oh, but where is she going to put all of her shit though? I mean, she's got so much stuff.
That's where people start to be like, we don't feel sorry for you.
100%.
Like, women get divorced all the time in the United States of America who has husbands are working, and they're literally like, I don't know what I'm, how am I going to eat? And right, they figure it out. So this is where nobody feels sorry for her. And the way she is acting is, this could have been, no one came in and said, let's take this case over and counsel you. And, but I do think, like, I mean, I don't know where I read it where she just, I mean, I don't think she would listen. I think she would, I mean, you could see her lawyers saying to her, do this. And she was saying like, I mean, she even said, they told me not to be on the show and this and that. And she's not listening to them.
No. And when she said, you know, when she kind of was pleading her case, like, I was never going to quit. I'm going to come back and show everybody how, with what?
Right. And with then that's what? Also when I mean, was thinking what, like, yeah.
What could they turn over that all of a sudden is going to clear her name as far as the amount of money that she's gone through and the money going into her account? And she doesn't understand. It seems to me she doesn't understand. She hasn't been charged with a crime, but people are judging her on her behavior based on what it is. And even if she didn't know, it doesn't wipe out her lack of empathy for the victims. If she didn't know, in sooner or later, something comes out, a miracle falls from the sky that says, Erica didn't know. Even still, all of that horrible behavior is not going to be forgiven.
And this is why I love every time Catherine stops by, because she has a point. Like, I mean, we're focusing on whether Erica knew or didn't know and all the nuances of what really happened, which of course are important. But really, if Erica just walks away and moves on with her life, it could have gone so much differently. It's really the behavior. I still go back to the first question Andy asked her is, how did you sleep? And she had an attitude. So this continues part 3 tomorrow on our Patreon account under the Big Daddy membership level. This third part will be tomorrow. At the end, Catherine says, is anyone still listening? No ego. I'm just under the assumption if we keep talking, we keep coming up with different theories, everyone's going to keep listening. So Catherine and I kept saying, this is the last question. We have to go. And then we would talk for another hour, which is pretty much what's about to happen. So we have about another hour left, but we start to bring up all these other, Catherine brings up things I've never thought of. So if you're not tired of listening to us talk, we're going to get into it. We're going to get into more about Erica. And Catherine has all these theories also about which we're going to talk about more about LVP returning. I'm starting to think LVP is coming back, not next season, but maybe the season after. We have all these theories. So tomorrow, part 3 of this epic breakdown of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion part 1. It's on our Patreon. I know most of you are on our Patreon, but for those who aren't, it's really kind of where I let it all hang out, and you could ask me anything there. Part 3 tomorrow under the Big Daddy level membership of our third part reunion breakdown with Miss Catherine Edwards. We still got a lot to go, guys. We've got to just get into it. Hope you like it. Bye.
Thanks for listening to yet another episode of Behind the Velvet Rope. Because without you listeners, I would just be a crazy person with voices in my head. And if you like what you hear, subscribe on Apple Podcasts under Behind the Velvet Rope. And when you're done subscribing, feel free to leave a 5-star write-up review, because the write-up reviews actually count. We read each and every one of them. We post the best ones, and the reviews really help our shows keep going. And we really appreciate everything you guys say, especially the positive ones. And if you want to find us online, we're at Behind Velvet Rope on Instagram. We are at David Yontef on Instagram. We're Behind The Velvet Rope on Apple Podcasts. Or head on over to Patreon, because you know what? There are just some things we can't talk about here. So for our bonus episodes, go to Patreon and type in Behind The Velvet Rope. And if you still aren't sick of me and you want more David, go to Cameo and book me on Cameo. And you can ask me anything there. I'll answer whatever you want. And I have a bargain basement price of $10. Thank you guys. See you soon.